a poem I memorized 40 years ago. Gather ye rosebuds while you may, O time, it is flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. For so many years, on the fourth Sunday in May, my family would pack into the car and head up to Faulkville, Alabama, then out in the country to a cemetery called Evergreen for decoration. You've been to a decoration at a cemetery before. I don't think it's as popular now as it used to be. People would stand out in the cemetery. We were wearing our Sunday clothes. It was always hot. We walked around tombstones. We admired the fresh flower arrangements. And I remember my grandmother being critical of some people's flowers. Those just don't look right. And often looking at the monuments, my family called them the monuments, not the headstones. A story would be told about this person or that person. It was the same story every year. Now, this is your great aunt from Hartsville. You never knew her. She died in a tornado before you were born. This is your great-grandfather. He lived near Mount Nebo Church. He was a Methodist song leader, and he was a good man. But you never knew him. He died before you were born. And the stories would continue. I was bored with them then, but I'm glad now that I listened. These are our stories, and you have stories just like them. But the part of decoration I enjoyed most was climbing on the monuments, as we called them. The part I enjoyed the least was meeting relatives who I did not know so well and maybe saw them once a year, and they always tried to figure out who you looked like in your family. Will has his father's hair and his mother's lips. And I remember one aunt in particular every year was fond of putting her hands on your face to cover up certain parts so that she could highlight the uncovered part and say, those are your mother's lips. These are your father's eyes. And she smelled like mothballs, and I avoided her every year. And every year this same aunt would tell my sister that she had her grandmother's hips, which was not much of a compliment back then. I visited that cemetery not long ago on a fall afternoon. My grandfather, who I never knew, and my grandmother, who was so dear, James D. Jones, born 1910, died 1954. Dora Kilpatrick Jones, born 1910, died 1996. It occurred to me that the monuments did not say very much about who my grandfather was or who my grandmother was and how they lived their lives and who loved them and who they loved and what was important to them. Born, died. Story of their lives is all encompassed in that little dash. What happened between being born and finding yourself having died and with the Lord. And when you think about it, we don't have control over when we're born. And we don't have control over when we die, but we do control the dash between those dates. We don't get to decide who our parents are, when we're born, what time period we're going to live in, the culture we're going to face. If I had a choice, I would live at Downton Abbey and be Lord Grantham with all the perks that come with being called your lordship. But I didn't have a choice. We are who we are. We don't get to decide the dates on our tombstones. We're born and we die. We do not know when our time on earth will be up. It could happen today. It could happen next week or next year. For many of us here today, it could be decades before we get that last date following the dash. Our lives are in God's hands. But there's one thing over which we do have complete control. And that's how we're going to live out our lives. In other words, how are we going to live the dash? How are we going to live between birth and death? What will our lives look like? It's often stated that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Life in all its intricacies is a journey. This is what we have before us. From our beginning at birth, we are pilgrim travelers, looking and searching for a place of self-worth in the world, trying to find our place and to make our mark and to be somebody in that dash between birth and death. What contributions will we make to the society in which we live, and what will be said about our existence on a decoration day, on a May afternoon when we're gone? Will our communities lament our absence when we're no longer on the scene? Will someone rejoice that we're dead because we've lived such a miserable life? Again, what are you doing with that dash? Because that's where we are right now. Each and every one of us at this moment in this time are living in that dash. In our gospel lesson this morning, John shares with us Jesus' walk and His pilgrimage. It's coming to an end. He's about to have a death date. He's washed the disciples' feet to teach a lesson about servanthood. He named His betrayer Judas, who fled into the night to do His deed. He shared the last meal, the last supper, with His friends in an upper room. And before long, Jesus will find Him walking across the Kidron Valley near the Mount of Olives, being met by a platoon of soldiers and priests and Pharisees bent on arresting Him as the betrayer stood in the crowd in the dark watching it happen. But before this happened, before He is betrayed, before He takes that walk, He prays for us. In my Bible, the heading is, Jesus prays for believers, His followers. In Eugene Peterson's The Message, he paraphrases some of this prayer by having Jesus say, "In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world." When Jesus prays for us, for you, for your journey, your pilgrimage, in our scripture today, He asks two things. This is His prayer for you, and He asks these things for you. That we have the love of God in us. That's His prayer. And that we as followers will be one with God, one with Christ, and one with one another. This is His last soliloquy. These are His parting words, His final advice to us, to love the Lord and have God's love in us, and that we live as one. You're going to have to figure out what that means, because I'm not going to tell you. Because I can't tell you how to live your life or what you're supposed to do in the dash. I can't tell you what it means for you to have God inside of you. And I can't tell you what it means to live as one. That's something you figure out and you do. But I can say this. It's clear from the witness of Jesus that we will never find happiness, we'll never find contentment, we'll never have accomplishment or peace apart from having Christ right in here. It will not happen. It cannot happen. And I'm not talking about saying that we have Jesus in our hearts. Those words are a dime a dozen in our religious culture. Have you received Christ into your heart? I'm expressing that being one with the Christ on our pilgrimage is best proven by the way we think, the way we act, the way we behave, what our commitments are, and the way we order the dash between our birth and our death. There are a lot of interesting words found on tombstones besides just our birth date and our death date. You've seen some. We have had a secretary here at Southside, Elaine Williams, a few years back, and she had these words placed on the headstone of her husband when he was buried. "I told you I was sick." That's all it says. And then his birth and his death. There are no words and no symbols more important for us right now than that dash between our birth and the time that we die. There is no more time that is more important than right now, with what we do with our lives and what we do not do. In holding Will here a few moments ago, you heard me say life is very short and it moves very quickly. "Gather ye rosebuds while you may, time it is a flying." And it flies so quickly that sometimes we look back and wonder, what have I done? What have I not done? My encouragement to you today on this Mother's Day is as we remember our mothers and the people that have helped shape our lives, that we are living right now in the presence of Christ with Him in our hearts and seeking to be one. Let us make the dash between our birth and our death something meaningful. Perhaps this morning you're asking a question, what have I done with my life? Where's the time gone? Promises I made 30 years ago seem strange to me now. What have I done with my life? What will I do with my life? You know, when you get to be a certain age, and I am close to that age, we start talking about the good old days. You know, back in my day, we say. Have you heard that before? I do believe back in my day the music was better. I honestly do believe that. But my parents said that as well. Back in my day. But we don't have a back in my day. All we've got is what we have right now. And what we do with today and with tomorrow is how our lives are measured. What will you do with the dash in which we're living? Let us pray for a moment.